Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
Thank you so much for coming out. God is good. Everybody say God is good. He is good. And his mercies endures forever. Thank you, Lord. I'm excited. Let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 15 and verse 7. We've been studying on prayer this season. Jesus made a statement. His disciples made a statement in Luke chapter 11. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Well, we can pray. Lord, teach us to pray from now till Jesus Christ comes. I won't get any results if you don't get into the Word of God, because that's how he teaches us to pray. So John chapter 15 and verse 7. Thank you, Lord. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Notice you is mentioned five times. In that verse, just one verse. He starts it, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And will be done for you. That's a very big promise. But it starts with you abiding in the Lord and his words. To have a successful prayer life, it must be based on the Word of God. If you abide in me, while you come into God and abide in God by first becoming born again and then maintaining a relationship with Jesus Christ, but to get results in prayer, he is saying that you need to let my words abide in you. We need to let the Word of God live in us. And then ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. That's where we all want to get to. We ask whatever we wish, and it is done. But he gives us the key to get to that place. Abide in me, and let my words abide in you. A successful prayer life must be based on the Word of God. When we go to pray, we take God's Word to Him. Thank you, Father. You see, that's what Daniel had to do in Daniel chapter 9. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 9, please. Thank you, Father. He went with God's Word. Daniel chapter 9. Thank you, Father. He says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, by descent a Mede, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books the number of years that according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet must pass before the end of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. Then I turned my face to the Lord, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I understood by the books, that according to the word of Jeremiah, so he referred to the prophecy of Jeremiah. That's all he had, what he had at the time. And then he turned his face to the Lord. Our captivity is supposed to be over. His prayer was based on the word of God. Look at that prophecy in Jeremiah. Thank you, Lord. Jeremiah 29. Thank you, Lord. Jeremiah 29, glory, verse 10. Jeremiah 29, verse 10. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So Daniel looked at this prophecy and said, God has said that we will only be in captivity for 70 years. The 70 years have come, but oh, he realized that those prophecies are not going to self-fulfill themselves. He's going to take the, he took the word of God to, he reminded God of his promises. He reminded God of his word. God, 70 years have expired. You said your plans that you have for us are plans of good and not of evil. You have good plans for us, but we also realize that in that same breath you said, call unto me, seek me and you will find me. And so I'm going to do exactly that. I refuse for this nation to stay in captivity. I refuse to stay in captivity on a personal level. The time has expired. Oh, glory be to the name of the Lord. So many times in our lives, we wait for the word of God to fulfill itself. No, 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 no. If my words abide in you, then you will take that word to me and ask whatever you wish and it will be done. Take his words back to him and remind him of his promises. Thank you, Father. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 26. He repeats it in different words. Thank you, Lord. He says, put me in remembrance. Put me in remembrance. Let us argue together. Set forth your case that you may be proved right. Bring your case. Put him in remembrance of what? Of his word. Of his promises. Put me in remembrance. Set forth your cause that you may be proved right. Let us argue. Let us reason together. Thank you, Father. You see, oh, someone will say that as for me, I haven't received any. I don't have any prophecy. I don't have any word. No, no, no. The word of God is prophetic in nature. The word of God is prophetic in nature. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. The word of God itself is prophecy. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. Notice what he says. Here he says, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart. Knowing this first of all, notice again, no prophecy of scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The King James says we have a more sure word of prophecy. So the word of God is prophetic. We have a more sure word of prophecy. We have a more sure prophetic word. Thank you, Father. But the word of God will not fulfill itself. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. Notice what is very interesting. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. We've established the fact that the word of God is a sure word of prophecy. But notice what he's saying to Timothy. This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. I am committing this charge to you according to the prophecies made about you. Those prophecies will not fulfill themselves. Rise up and wage warfare with those prophecies and see them fulfilled. The word of God is prophetic, but we must wage a good warfare with them to see them fulfilled. In this season, so many of us, I'm sure we can look in our life somewhere that we may have received us. We have read the Bible. We have seen certain things that have not come to pass yet. But God is telling us this morning to not just sit idle, but to rise up in prayer and go to him with his word and say, Lord, now you said it. Lord, do it. Wage a good warfare with the word of God in prayer. Thank you, Father. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 24. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 24. Thank you, Father. Rise, set out on your journey, and go over the valley of Anon. Behold, I have given into your land Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to take possession and contend with him in battle. I have given you the land. I have given you the land, the king, and everybody. But I want you to contend with him in battle. Begin to take possession of it in the mighty name of Jesus this morning. Oh, that which God has for you in this season, rise up and begin to take possession of it in Jesus' mighty name. Wage a good warfare with the prophetic word of God. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Prayer must be based on the word of God. Prayer must be based on the word of God. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Well, thank you, Lord. Let's look at some of the hindrances to prayer. I mean, we cannot talk about prayer without talking about some hindrances to prayer. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn to Mark 11, 24. Thank you, Lord. Where he teaches us a lesson on the prayer of faith. But notice what he says. Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. So he tells us that, I mean, this time 24, he's talking about prayer. But in the same breath, he says, I tell you, when you pray, when you pray, the moment you pray, believe that you have received and it will be done for you, and you will have, you will receive it. Believe that you have received and it will be yours. But in that same breath, in that same instance, notice in all this, he doesn't mention any resistance to prayer, any hindrance to prayer. He says, and whenever you stand praying, forgive. if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. If you don't forgive, the Father cannot forgive you even if he wants to. And it's going to hinder your prayer. So in that same breath, when you stand praying, forgive. It's going to hinder your prayers. Big things, little things. Just let it go. Let it drop. Leave it alone and let it go. It may be from the past. Just let it go. It's going to hinder your prayer life. There was a woman. She had a sickness in her body, and she had sought for healing for a very long time. And one time she was in a meeting where they were talking about some of these things. And she saw it. She saw where she was missing it. And she said, I have a brother. I'm going to go home and call this brother. We have been at odds with each other we haven't spoken to each other for 25 years since our mother passed away. And I don't know what the issue was. May have been over property or whatever the case might be. But they hadn't spoken to each other for 25 years. And she said, I'm going to go and call this brother of mine and settle this issue. And then when I come back in the evening, I'll go into the prayer line and receive prayer for healing. So she went and picked up the phone and called this brother. And the brother said, well, I've been meaning to call you. And on the phone, she said, I've called to apologize for what I did 25 years ago that caused us to have a bad relationship. Then the brother said, well, you don't need to apologize. It was my fault. I mean, that all this happened. Then she said, no, it's my fault. So they kept going back and forth. And then finally they agreed and said, well, we'll split it 50-50. You take 50% of the blame. I'll take 50% of the blame. And the brother said, you are coming to come and see me? He said, yes, as soon as this meeting is finished, I'll come and see you. And so she went and took a nap and then got ready, got up in the evening and was going to go into the prayer line. And she said, I mean, when I woke up, I searched my body, feeling the pain where the issue was, and I couldn't find anything. Glory to God. She didn't even need to pray for healing again. Just by taking care of that issue, she received her miracle. When you stand praying, forgive. That's so important. That is the only hindrance that he talked about here in this teaching on prayer. When you stand praying, forgive. Sometimes we think of big things. It may be little things. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm not going to let this person go. No. Just let it go and let it drop. When you stand praying, forgive. Thank you, Father. Another hindrance to our prayers is when we worry. Philippians chapter 4. Worry stops our prayers from working. Thank you, Lord. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Notice that there he's talking about prayers. Well, I love it so much in the Amplified. He says, do not fret or have anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Don't fret or have anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance, in everything, by prayer and petition, definite request. Notice here, he says, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. So he gives you an alternative to fretting and being anxious. Instead of being anxious and being fretful, just continue with thanksgiving to make your wants known to God. Lord, I've made definite requests. I've prayed to you. I know that you have heard me. Now I thank you. I refuse to worry. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you. Thank you, oh Lord, that you watch over me affectionately. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Thank you, Lord. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Instead of worrying, cast your care on the Lord. Your prayers won't be answered when you are anxious and you are full of worry. Notice how the Amplified says this. casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Oh, glory. Cast 30% of your worries on him? No. Cast 50%? No. Cast all your anxieties. Cast all your worries. Cast all your concerns. Once and for all. Because you have a heavenly Father who loves you, cares for you, watches over you affectionately. Thank you, Lord. Somebody say, let us say this morning, I refuse to worry and to be anxious because I have a Father who watches over me affectionately. Oh, that's a comforting promise. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. And then also, decide that you will abide in the house of God. Decide that you will abide in God. Notice that the verse that we started with, John 15:7, may you abide in Christ. You abide in him first by being born again and then by maintaining a relationship with him. Decide to once and for all that no matter what comes up, I will choose to abide in him. I will maintain a relationship with the Father. The prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, verse 11, left the father's house and he was wandering about. He went into another country and wasted his father's money on righteous living and wasted his money, and he began to be in want. He didn't maintain a relationship with the Father. He didn't stay in the house of God. Even if the Father cared for him and wanted to give him food, he was way out there. He was way out there, he began to beg for food that is fed to pigs. How low can you go? He's now competing with pigs for food because he has left the Father's house. And he's way out there to where if he cries, the Father wouldn't hear him. But thank God he came to himself and said, I am meant to live a life of dignity. Even if I go, and even the servants in my father's house are well taken care of, I will arise and go back to my father's house. I will go back into a relationship with my father. Even if he decides to make me a servant, I know I will be better taken care of than staying here away from him. He went back, and thank God. The Bible says that the Father saw him from far away coming. Abide in the Lord. Abide in Christ. Maintain a relationship with the Father. There's a certain king in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 5. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I'm enjoying this. I tell you, 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 5. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, it says, he set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And notice, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. As long as he was seeking God, God made him to prosper. As long as he maintained a relationship with God, God made him to prosper. God doesn't have an issue with us prospering, but it's tied to us maintaining a relationship with him, determining that we will seek him. He set himself. That means he was determined. to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God, and as long as he saw the Lord, God made him prosper. He said himself that I am determined to seek God. And if you read the story, when he stopped seeking God, he started going down. Thank you, Father. Let's maintain a relationship with the Father. As long as we seek the Lord, as long as we maintain our walk with God. He says, God made him to prosper. I see you abiding in Christ. I see you abiding in the house of God. I see you seeking God, and I see you prospering. If that's you, say a big amen. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Now, God also wants us to bear fruit. One of the best ways to get answers to prayer is to seek the interest of the kingdom of God. To seek the interest of the kingdom of God. Oh, glory. To seek the interest of the kingdom of God. You see, in the Lord's Prayer, after he said, Father, hallowed be your name. And then the next thing is, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let's turn to John chapter 15, verse 16. This is all in his teaching on prayer. Verse 7 talked about, we abide in him. Then he goes on to talk about we bearing prayer fruit and loving the Father and abiding in his love. And then verse 16, notice, it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. I've chosen you. Well, we didn't choose him. He chose us. That's very obvious, right? I've chosen you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. Then ask me whatever you want in my name. Notice he puts the name in there as well. And he may give it to you. Ask the Father in my name. But he says that go and bear fruit. God wants all of us to be fruitful parts of the vine. Thank you, Father. We are determined that, Lord, we are interested in your kingdom. We don't want our co-workers to go to hell. We don't want our neighbors to go to hell. We don't want any member in our family to go to hell. We will pray for them, and not only pray for them, but we will reach out to them and be fruitful part of the vine. Seeking God and the interest of his kingdom. God wishes that everyone should be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He's not willing that anybody should perish. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 3. When we love the Lord, we love his kingdom and we seek his kingdom first. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 3. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. It says, and Solomon loved the Lord. Solomon loved the Lord. Solomon loved the Lord. And when God came to him and asked him, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, you know, this job that you have given me is a big deal. To lead your people, to lead a people so much as this. Lord, I pray. He was concerned about the kingdom of God. That's the sense. He was concerned about the kingdom of God. And so he said, Lord, Lord, give me an understanding heart to be able to rule your people. But Solomon love the Lord. And that love motivated his praying for the kingdom of God. It was the same with Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, verse 17. The first times recorded in the Bible where Abraham is praying, he's not praying for himself. He's praying for others. He's praying for the souls of people in Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham was called a friend of God. He was called a friend of God. He was concerned about the souls of those people in Sodom and Gomorrah. And he started negotiating for them. Daniel was the same way. He was concerned about the nation, the kingdom of God. And he set himself to pray. Then he says, when you do that, go and bear prayer fruit. Go and bear fruit. People coming into the kingdom, then dead, ask me whatever you want in my name, that he may give it to you. And praying that people will also be established in God and be matured in the kingdom of God. We see that in the life of Epaphras. Epaphras is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I just like the pronunciation of his name. Epaphras. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. Who is he struggling with? He's not struggling with God. There are people who are born again, but the enemy is holding them down. So he's praying and striving. The King James says, laboring fervently, that you will mature and stand fully assured in the will of God. He's made it his job to pray, not just for himself, but people will be matured and fully assured in the will of God. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Now, thank you, Father. Let's get back to it. Why do we have to pray? We have to pray because like we said earlier, the plans and purposes of God are tied to us seeking God and praying. And God has ordained for us that we should open our mouth. We should open our mouth. We should open our mouth. Let's look at it again. Matthew chapter 26. A closed mouth equates to staying in oppression. Matthew 26. Verse 53, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. It says, do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? 12 legions of angels. He had all this available to him, but he chose not to exercise that right. And so look at what Isaiah was speaking prophetically concerning that. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Jesus chose to not open his mouth. If he had opened his mouth, angels would have come on the scene and he would have been delivered. And so what that tells me is a closed mouth equates to staying in oppression. He says, I can pray and ask for angelic assistance, but I choose not to exercise that right. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh, may we rise up in this season and open our mouth and refuse to stay in any form of captivity. Jesus has made us free. Oh, we refuse to be entangled with any yoke of bondage. We will open our mouths wide. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He says, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Psalm chapter 81, verse 10. Look at that scripture. It's so interesting. I love it. Psalm 81, verse 10. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. And I wanted to stand against your enemies, but you wouldn't open your mouth. Psalm 81, verse 10. Notice what he says. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Why do we have to pray? I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel will not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn heart to follow their own counsels. Oh, that my people will listen to me, that Israel will walk in my ways. Verse 14, I will soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. I just want them to listen to me, walk in my ways, open their mouths wide, and I will fill it. But they won't open their mouth, and so they remain. I want to stand against their enemies. I want to subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. All they have to do is open their mouths. In this season, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you will not close your mouth. Oh, but we will take the word of God to him and remind him of his promises. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Glory be to the name of the Lord. That's what blind Bartimaeus had to do. When he was when he had Jesus, was walking on the road. Mark chapter 10. Thank you, Lord. Verse 46 to 52. When he heard that Jesus was on the road, he started crying out, oh, Lord Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then the people said, keep quiet, keep quiet. He's busy. He doesn't have time for you. He's on his way to another meeting. He's on his way to another place. They said, keep silent. Blind Bartimaeus, not today. If Jesus is passing by today, I will open my mouth and cry out to him. I refuse to keep quiet and remain with my blindness and remain in my captivity. I am going to call on him. Thank you, Jesus. He called on the Lord. And when he got into the presence of Jesus, Jesus asked him a question. What do you want? That's an interesting question. People are blind. Jesus, can't you see I'm blind? No, but the thing is, God has ordained for us to ask him and be specific. He wanted to get his confession of faith. Wanted to get it from his mouth. What do you want me to do for you? Just say. Just open your mouth and say. Open your mouth and say. Open your mouth and say. He wants it to come out of your mouth. And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Jesus, ever merciful, ever merciful. Didn't tell blind Bartimaeus to go. He said, let it be unto you according to your faith. And he was healed. His eyes were open. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. You see, when we pray, there is profit in praying. You see, it says Epaphras was laboring in prayer. He was laboring in prayer. And in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23, it talks about the fact that in all labor, there is profit. In all labor, there is profit. When we labor in prayer, there is profit. There is a benefit to praying. There's a benefit to praying for our loved ones to be saved. There's a benefit to pray for others to be established in the house of God. Sooner or later, your labor or prayer will show. There is profit in laboring in the house of God. And praying and seeking his kingdom first. When we seek his kingdom first, Matthew 6:33, all these things will be added to us. As long as Uzziah was seeking the Lord, God made him to prosper. Thank you, Father. In this season, just get a list. It may be your neighbor. It may be a friend. It may be a relative who is not saved. Just take them up to God and say, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. The enemy is the one that blinds people from getting saved. Say, in the name of Jesus, use the authority in the name. In John chapter 16, 23, it talks about the use of the name in prayer. To use the authority in that name and say, devil, in the name of Jesus, I break your power over this one. And let the light of the glorious gospel shine through. Let them be delivered in the mighty name of Jesus. And God send laborers their way. If I am available to speak to them, speak to them. And they will turn to the Lord. They will turn. This is a kingdom-based presence. And as you seek his kingdom, as you pray and seek his kingdom first, everything else will be added to you. Oh, thank God that he's a prayer-answering God. Thank God he's a prayer-answering God. Oh, he will never leave us nor forsake us. He watches over us affectionately. He yearns over us. He yearns over us. This week we had a testimony of someone. He has been looking for a job for several months. And he ran into favor this week. He went somewhere to do something else. That wasn't even related. And then right there in that building, he saw that there was a job fair going on. He went and then he started asking questions. And the people showed him favor in the natural. They weren't even supposed to have hired him. When he was saying it, he said it was just like having a conversation. And when they finished having that conversation, the person said, "You are on the schedule now. We are going to put you on the schedule." Glory be to the name of the Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Glory be to God is concerned about us, but he wants us to put his kingdom first. His kingdom first. I pray that may the favor of God locate you this week. As we endeavor to pray and to stay on our watch, both individually and coming together to pray as a church, I pray that may you receive answers to prayer. If that's you, say a big amen.
Amen. Amen.
He received a job that he didn't even apply for. Isn't God wonderful? Isn't God awesome? But as we seek him, as we press on and are consistent in our walk with God, he will keep taking us higher and higher. I see God taking you up higher and higher. If that's you, say a big amen.
Amen.
Are you ready to open your mouth this morning? Or do you want to still stay at the same level that you are? No, I want to go up higher. Let's rise to our feet this morning and pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. I don't know what's on your heart this morning, but I know a God who answers prayer. I know a God who loves you. No matter the concerns, no matter the worries, he said, cast it on me. Oh, if you need to make some adjustment in your heart where forgiveness is concerned, just go ahead and make that adjustment. I release that person. Then release those worries and concerns. Put it on him. Oh, but this morning I want us to pray. Say, Lord, I want to go higher in prayer. I want to seek you and my relationship with you. So many times we come to the throne room and we say we are bombarding the gates of heaven. If you are bombarding the gates of heaven and God's throne, you know how wide and wide that city is? It's going to take you get God's attention. But if Hebrews 4:16 says, come boldly through the throne of grace. Come boldly through the throne of grace. Come boldly to the throne of grace. This morning, lift up your voice to God in the mighty name of Jesus. It may be for a family member that is unsaved. Oh, maybe they once knew the Lord, but somehow they are drifted off or they are drifting. Oh, pray for them and call them back into the house of God. And break the power of the enemy over them and let them be saved. Somebody prayed for you to come into the kingdom of God. Somebody prayed for you to come into the kingdom of God. This morning we want to stand in the gap in the mighty name of Jesus. If you know their names, mention their names. Devil, you will not have that family member. In the mighty name of Jesus, they will not go to hell. Devil, your power is broken over their lives. And I claim their deliverance and their salvation in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, lift up your voice to God. 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 The presence of God is here this morning. The presence of God is here this morning. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done unto you. This morning he wants to undertake for you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lift up your voice to God. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the spirit and pray with your understanding. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, go up higher a little bit this morning. Lift up your voice. 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 If it's regarding your health, if it's regarding your finances, he said, give us this day our daily bread. And healing is the children's bread. Today I receive bread. I receive healing in my body. I receive wholeness. I receive supplies from you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, I will not be destitute. I will not quail. I will not be defeated. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Open your mouth wide. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. I will subdue your enemies. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, turn my captivity around. When the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, they were like damned a tree. Then was their mouth filled with laughter. Turn my captivity around. Fill my mouth with laughter. Fill my mouth with testimony in the mighty name of Jesus. Kabaraba. My Lord, this atmosphere is charged with the presence of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, lift up your voice. He said, Timothy, wage warfare with the prophecies that have gone ahead of you. And now begin to speak into the month of August. Begin to speak into the rest of this year. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, what do you want to see in your life this year? What do you want to see in your life in the coming month? Lift up your voice and cry to God. Wage warfare. Oh, wage warfare. Take his words to him. The plans that he has for you are plans of good and not of evil. Plans to give you an expected end. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence. Oh, for that open invitation to come boldly to the throne room of grace. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. If you are watching us online or listening to this message, and you don't know the Lord Jesus, you don't have a relationship with the Father, you are out there trying to struggle and do life on your own, my Lord, or maybe you knew him one time, and like we talked about this morning, you stepped out of the Father's house and things are getting tougher and tougher. But you are willing to come back to the Father. He will take you anytime if you decide to make a turnaround this morning. If you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just say, Lord Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you. I believe you were raised from the dead. Today, I confess you as my Lord
and as my Savior. And if you left the Father's house and are willing to come back, say, Lord Jesus, Father, take me back and help me serve you and stay in your house.
We trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. We will love to equip you in daily walk, so sign up for daily devotionals and encouragement at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535 or write us at P.O. Box 15883, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80935.